Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dentzel. It's May 10th, 2017. I hope everybody is doing well, slowly getting closer to the end of the school year, I guess, at least for those school systems that go September through May or June and then get the summers off. It was weird when I moved to Las Vegas to hear that there were schools that were year-round. There would just be a couple weeks. You'd go to school for a while, a couple weeks, go to school again, and then at some point during the summer, you'd have a couple weeks off. The kid would take off. He was in seventh, would end with seventh grade, and a couple weeks later when he goes back, it's eighth grade. And it just does that over and over and over. That was a little weird compared to like growing up in Pennsylvania, where I was used to going to school just September through May. And I think the reason, you have to go back, to like farm days in the United States. I think the reason that they took summers off was that's when kids were needed on the farm, I think that's why that got started that way. It wasn't because summer was seen as quote unquote vacation time. Although it also might have had something to do with the fact that most schools, at least probably up until the 1970s, probably didn't have air conditioning. And, of course, who wants to teach geometry in July in Pennsylvania when it's 90 degrees and 95% humidity? Nobody. So maybe that had something to do with it now. Of course, most schools now do have air conditioning everywhere, especially here in Florida. But I just wonder, I think it actually got started because of kids being let out during the summer to help their families on the farm. You can check that. I'm going to have to look that up. My Pirates are on the West Coast, and it was weird last night that I went to bed listening to them on my phone. I have the MLB app where I can listen to the game. And I fell asleep right after they went ahead 3-2 in the eighth inning. I fell asleep right after that. John Jaso hit a home run. And then it was weird. I woke back up right before they lost the game in the bottom of the 10th. So I don't know how long that would have been, about an hour or something. I don't know if my body just told me, hey, Ed, I have to wake you up just so you can hear your Pirates lose. They were ahead. But then I found out they blew it in the bottom of the 9th and then blew it in the bottom of the 10th. It's really weird when that happens. You fall asleep and you wake up just to hear your team lose just when it seems like they just went ahead. Very strange. Sleeping is very strange. And still, at 46 years old, I love to sleep, but it's still something you think about it. It's just kind of strange how your mind needs to check out for a while. Of course, it doesn't check out. Of course, we dream. Our minds continue to work while we're asleep. But it's just weird how, for us to function, we have to be unconscious for a while. There's just something really, really funny about that to me. I don't know what it is, but sleep is weird. It's just weird. I have weird dreams. Just lying there and all of a sudden your body just like turns off. Part of your mind just turns off. Very strange. So let's go to the program. Of course, I don't have anything to talk about today. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hope you can hear my voice dripping with sarcasm. Yesterday, I really not long after I completed recording this show, Donald Trump fired James Comey, FBI director. And the funny part about it, of course, is maybe not funny for him or his family right now, but the funny part about it is that he found out, he thought it was a joke. He was speaking to some FBI employees, I think in California somewhere. And there was a TV screen there and it flashed up that Donald Trump, had fired him, and he thought it was a joke. And he started laughing about it. He goes, oh, somebody's playing a prank on me. Somebody here in this office, this FBI office, is playing a prank on me. And then some of his assistants came over and said, hey, Jimmy, we need to talk to you. And that's how he found out that he was fired. Typical Donald Trump. No class whatsoever. None. Zero. Zip. Zip. no class. That's why I think that this administration is destined to not do very well the next 3.5 years. We could only hope that if all the Democrats still talking about impeaching Donald Trump, I hope he finds out about it, that he's getting impeached through a news story. And I hope he thinks that it's a prank. We can only hope. So that's the way James Comey found out. And both sides, both Republicans and Democrats, don't know if they're supposed to be happy about this or be sad about this. They're all conflicted. On the Democrat side, on one hand, you think you were happy that he didn't indict Hillary Clinton, so you were happy with him, and then you got mad at him that he came out with that letter right before the election, thinking, now all of you liberals thinking that he stole the election away from Hillary Clinton, and then you're happy with him again because he's going after Trump and his Russian ties, and you just don't know which way to turn on this. And with Republicans, it's the exact opposite. They were mad at him, and then they were happy with him, and then they were mad at him again, and now he's gone. So neither side knows whether they're supposed to be happy, sad, or somewhere in between, which is funny. You don't find too many stories in recent political history where something big like this happens, and each side has something to hate and like about it. The way I feel about it is I think that this had to be done. And him, James Comey being fired is not really his fault. I think that James Comey just happened to be the head of the FBI at a very difficult time for the FBI. I was telling my friend Dave yesterday, my political confidant, that even if it had been J. Edgar Hoover or Janet Reno or Louis Freeh and anybody, they also would have found it very difficult to maneuver in the waters that were created during the 2016 election season. Because this is where his firing all got started. Because an election was going to happen and because one of the people running was Hillary Clinton. And an election was going to happen. That's totally out of James Comey's power, of course. And Hillary Clinton running is completely out of James Comey's power as well. But the whole situation was then thrust upon him once all of this stuff came out about emails and Clinton Foundation and email, private emails going here, super secret emails, top secret emails ending up on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And then he had to handle it. And when this all came to light and the FBI was going to get involved, I told you way back that, and this is the last thing the FBI wants. This is the last thing James Comey wants, who at the time was like a nobody. When this all started, James Comey was a nobody. Nobody could have told you who ran the FBI. And then he came to prominence as the investigation continued, but I'm sure he and none of the other FBI people who worked on any of this wanted to have anything to do with it. Not because they're political hacks or anything, but they knew where this was headed. And I told you this when this all got started, that the last thing the FBI wanted to do was to get into the middle of an election season, a political season, where if they actually did their job somewhat correctly, it would be seen as giving an election to the other party. That helps nobody. Although Republicans and Trump people might think, oh yeah, that's exactly what they wanted. In the long run, it does damage to the FBI. It just does. Even though I know they're supposed to do their job. But always, what it looks to me, I mean, hey, I don't have the qualifications to run the FBI. I don't think I'd want that job. Like, just like I wouldn't want the Speaker of the House job, just like I wouldn't want Majority Leader in the Senate job. There's a lot of political jobs that I would not want, and you can add FBI Director on that list. I think Vice President might be pretty cool, though. But what happened, and FBI News, you know, one hand, they knew they needed to investigate it, but on the other hand, they didn't want to. And it seems to me, looking back at it now, that they tried to split the difference. They tried to go, you know, I imagine like a skier, one of these slalom skiers, and seeing all these obstacles, and they just tried to slalom their way around the problems and tried to get to the bottom of the hill without being seen as too political either way. And I guess that that's what James Comey accomplished, because once again, in the end, everybody ended up disliking him at one time or another. So I guess he accomplished that. The problem is that if he wanted to keep his job, and if he wanted to keep the FBI in a place that was seen as being an upstanding organization, he needed to do one or the other. He needed to go totally, he and the FBI investigators needed to go totally hard on Hillary Clinton, or totally stay away from it and just deal with the fallout of a bunch of Americans saying, "You mean you're not going to investigate this? Instead, he didn't do it, but his people investigated it. And then he goes up in front of Congress and says, "Hillary Clinton broke all these laws, but we're not going to prosecute anything because she didn't know what the heck she was doing." That was a loser. Even though I understand that was in his mind splitting the difference. On one hand, he was saying, "Yep, Hillary Clinton's a bad person," but on the other, she's not going to jail. And I think that was supposed to make everybody happy, and it didn't. Because the Democrats don't believe she did anything wrong, and Republicans believe she did everything wrong and deserved to go to jail. And I think it was just a very complex situation. Very complex. Yes, the Democrats were happy that she wasn't indicted, and then they saw what he had to say as, they didn't like what he said, but in the end they were happy that she could still run for president. Republicans were happy that all of this got on the record, that she is a crook and a thief like everybody thinks, but they were ticked off that he wasn't going to charge her with anything. And as I told Dave, the analogy I also gave to Dave is that it seems to me that James Comey and the FBI tried to split the baby, going back, you know, biblical reference, I can do that once in a while, tried to split the baby without any bleeding. And that's just not possible. And the bleeding out was eventually ended up in James Comey being fired. And who knows, maybe he's glad to lose the job. Maybe he is. It's just too much crap. Because, you know, I've read a couple articles about him this morning, and people who have known him for a long time, well before he was head of the FBI, and they say that he's a really good guy. Solid guy, good guy. And I can't help but believe that's probably true. That outside, if you meet him and he's mowing his grass somewhere, and you're walking by, probably is a nice guy to talk to. Can talk sports, can talk the weather. I'm sure he is. But in the case of what has gone on at the FBI the last year plus, somebody had to take responsibility for that. And there was probably, you know, you look back at it and you say, is there any way that all this can happen and that James Comey wasn't going to get fired? I have to say that's hard to imagine. And it were things that were totally out of the control, even though at the same time, I'm going to say that the FBI made some bad decisions. I think that when you have, you are in a law enforcement capacity, when you decide that you're only going to do it halfway this way and halfway that way and try to please everybody, I think that that's a loser. And you either have to go at prosecuting somebody 100%, you know, say that there are crooks, say that there are frauds, say that they've committed a crime and have the courage to take it to court, or you just stay away from it forever. And just say, no, we're not getting into this. Or maybe differently, we'll get into this after the election. Something like that. Or something other than what he did. I understand what he was trying to do, but no. And on top of it, I think that there were statements that James Comey made recently in front of that committee about, you know, how these, you know, he had said at one point hundreds of thousands of emails were downloaded to, you know, top secret documents ended up on Anthony Weiner's computer. And now they're not so sure that that's exactly the case. And so maybe he had some loose lips, and loose lips sink ships. And that was on top of everything else. And it could be he did that on purpose just to get the heck out of, you know, maybe at this point, James Comey doesn't even care. You know, he's probably thinking, man, this FBI director position is a thankless job. I tried to make everybody happy, and in the end, I made nobody happy. You know, Democrats should be ecstatic that I didn't bring any charges against Hillary Clinton, you know, weeks before, you know, the election. And Republicans were giving me a hard time for not charging her. You know, I could have easily had the entire department just stay away from the whole thing and stay out of the politics of it. I'm sure as he lays in bed at night staring at the ceiling, that probably is a thought that crosses his mind. So, and then of course, the other thing that is added on top of all of this, if this story can't get even more complex, there is the belief out there, of course, among liberals, that the reason that Donald Trump's firing James Comey is because still of this investigation into Russian ties and Russians involving themselves in the election back in November. And this was, and there were subpoenas sent out, and then James Comey gets fired, and liberals are seeing this, and Democrats are seeing this as kind of when Nixon back, you know, started firing this, you know, the special prosecutors back, you know, over Watergate. This is nothing like that, not even close. And the issue is that, you know what, there's probably never a good time, except right when the election happens, to get rid of an FBI director. Because why? Because there's always going to be some investigation on. That's what the FBI does. In fact, it's in the name, Federal Bureau of Investigation. There's always going to be something going on, and probably it has something to do with something big that's going on in the United States. And there are going to be a lot of times where it is connected to politics in the United States. So anytime you fire an FBI director, somebody can always come out and say, See, the president's doing this because, there's an investigation into some politician in his own party. Well, that's going on all the time. So it doesn't mean anything that James Comey gets fired now or next week or last week. There was probably always going to be a bad time to get rid of him. But I think, though, that this is probably, having said all that, I think Donald Trump, Jeff Sessions had to do this. I think that James Comey was always, because of what happened in the last year, was always going to be connected to what happened really between August and the election. And maybe the Attorney General in particular, maybe Jeff Sessions started to worry, is James Comey, even though He didn't do anything illegal or immoral or unethical or anything. Did this situation between August and the election harm his reputation so much that can he continue to run the FBI and be seen as a good leader, as an unbiased leader? And I think the answer of that, strangely enough, is no. Even though James Comey tried to play the non-political angle, I think in the end, everybody saw him on each side as being political, because neither side got what they wanted. And I'm sure that that was the final decider. It wasn't necessarily what James Comey said recently. I think that it was a culmination of issues. And I think putting James Comey behind them is a way to get somebody else in there and to move on from the James Comey era and really to move on from everything that went on with the 2016 election. I think that's the way this is going. So I happen to agree with them having to move on, with them saying, I don't like the way it was done. I think that was classless, but I think that that's pretty much par for the course for Donald Trump. Should not be surprised by that. But I think it had to be done. I just wish it had been done in a nicer way. Have him call him up to the White House, sit him down. And, you know, the Attorney General be there, Donald Trump be there, thank him for his service. But given everything that's going on, we think the FBI is probably best off being run by somebody new. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I don't. Now, who will be the next person to run the FBI? I saw Chris Christie's name pop up. I saw him as a picture, as a possibility. You know, he's been waiting. He's been a loyal Trump person for a while now. Stood by him, stood by Donald Trump while Donald Trump made fun of him. And I just wonder, though, if that kind of appointment like that might be just a little too political, a little too close to Donald Trump. Chris Christie certainly has the credentials and the expertise, the resume to head up the FBI, I think. Being the governor of a state, being a federal prosecutor, there's a lot to like about his experience, of course, his politics. Some good, some bad. But I don't think I would be surprised if it's going to be Chris Christie. I really would be. I don't know. I haven't really read too much on who possibly it could be. But just like with any other appointment in the Trump administration, I don't know how much it's going to play a factor into how what goes on in the administration. I think eventually everything is decided by Donald Trump. I keep making that point over and over and over, even though the FBI director is not a cabinet member. The Attorney General is the cabinet member, and he is the FBI director's boss. The FBI director reports to the Attorney General about investigations, and the Attorney General is technically the highest-ranking law enforcement officer in the United States. It's not the FBI director. So I think that it would have to be somebody who isn't in the FBI. I wouldn't be surprised if they go outside the FBI to find a new person, once again, because of what has gone on in the FBI for the last year. You just need to bring somebody new in. A lot of people have been tainted and scarred by everything that's gone on. Need somebody new. No different than if it was a football team that's had a lot of down years and a coach gets fired. What do? Appoint one of the assistant coaches, or do you go outside the system to kind of change the thinking, change the environment, change the culture? I would guess that's the way that Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions are going to go with this. But I see James Comey as a little bit of a tragic figure. I think that the history was thrust upon him. Very complex situation that I don't know if anybody could have adequately navigated through all of it. I still say that I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if the FBI had decided to go hard one way or the other, really go after Hillary Clinton, say, yes, she did these things and we're going to prosecute her, even though an election would be coming up, even though I knew that was never going to happen. You thought it was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen. Or the FBI said, nope, we're not getting involved in any of this. We think that anything that we would do would harm the election. The information is already out there. And the voters can determine whether that is makes Hillary Clinton worthy of being president or not worthy of being president. And us getting involved, we think, would taint the voters in a particular direction. That might have been interesting, too. I think that he should have gone far one way or the other. Splitting it down the middle, I think, ultimately meant that James Comey was going to get fired and really just left a lot of stuff dangling. I think that that's why, you know, he compromised, and that's why I'm not a big fan of compromise. But I think he's a good guy. Let's move on to, see, we went over 20 minutes talking about James Comey. You got to love it when something big like that happens and it kind of just writes your show for you. You got to admit that's nice. Instead of having to, you know, go out and find stories, it's just something laid right in your lap. I'll be interested to see what other people, I've read some other articles about it. Jonah Goldberg at National Review, you know, is not thrilled with James Comey being fired. He understands why it happened, but he doesn't think he would have done it himself. Whereas Andrew McCarthy, who personally has known James Comey for years, said that it probably had to be done. So that even around the conservative spectrum, the opinion is mixed, even under one umbrella like National Review. So, you know, but it's funny seeing liberals, you know, be either excited, you know, maybe on one hand, they're happy that he's losing his job, being that what he did to Hillary Clinton, but on the other, now they're saying, well, see, he's getting fired because he was going after Trump and the Russians and everything. So they're so confused. But I think a lot of people on the right are confused about this as well. Let's move on to something else. Kind of a combination of two stories that I saw. I had seen this article, was it this past weekend? Maybe I saw this while I was over in Orlando for the tournament. But there was or maybe it was last week this came out, but there was a study done about gun ownership in the United States. And if this poll is to believe the study that's been done, and we're going to get into whether you can really believe this or not, gun ownership more and more is a determination on how people vote. And what this poll study shows is that if you own a gun, you are very, very much more likely to be a Republican than if you don't own a gun. And if you don't own a gun, you're more than likely to be a Democrat. And I think, I don't know if you need to conduct a study to know that, given the left's hatred of guns, alleged hatred. But what's interesting is this kind of study has been done for a while, going back to at least the 1970s. And there was a time within my lifetime, I was born in 1970, where gun ownership between Democrats and Republicans was close to equal. And, you know, I grew up in what was at the time a Democrat part of Pennsylvania, Armstrong County, Westmoreland County, that was very Democrat. But it's a huge hunting area. Every person I knew, my dad and I didn't hunt, but every other son and a father and son that we knew went out and hunted. So there were guns in their house, 30-06s, you know, all sorts of hunting rifles, but also shotguns. And I'm sure that there were a couple pistols in those homes as well, even though these people identified as Democrats. Not that they were crazy liberals, but you know, the blue collar Democrats you usually think of maybe like between the 30s and the 70s into the 80s. And I want to continue this discussion after the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. I want to continue to talk about gun ownership in the United States and the contrast between Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. Before the break, I was telling you that there was a study that came out that showed that gun ownership is more and more an indication of how people are going to vote. And going back to the 1970s, this was not the case. It was very, very close to gun ownership between Republicans and Democrats. And I'd mentioned that growing up in the hills of Pennsylvania, north of Pittsburgh, that I knew a lot of people who owned many guns. And they were obviously Democrats, but they were into hunting and not hunting deer, hunting turkeys. So they had shotguns and rifles. But and on the other hand, though, I wouldn't say that they were necessarily gun enthusiasts, which I think is something that is a little bit of a newer phenomenon in American culture, where pistols, I think, especially semi-automatics, have become more prominent in the United States. And I think that that has brought on a hobby type of person, both male or female, doesn't matter, who, you know, is a collector and knows all these different guns. Whereas guns, the way I thought about them growing up, the people who owned them saw them as tools. And guns are tools. But they were going to be used one way or another come hunting season to shoot deer and get venison and kill turkeys and eat turkey and you know, anything like that, or a .22 to go out and shoot some squirrels, cook them over a fire. When I was growing up, that was my general impression of guns. These days, when I talk about guns, I think about self-protection. So concealed carry, semi-automatics, high-capacity magazines, 9mm, 45 caliber, 40 caliber, whatever the caliber may be. And so my thinking about guns has changed. My impression of them has changed. And as you know, I became a gun owner within the last year and some months. But that has changed, allegedly, according to this poll, that Democrats don't own as many guns as they used to, and Republicans. The number, funny enough, even though our impression is that more and more people are owning guns, the study found that the percentage of Republicans who own guns is still about the same that it was in the 1970s, which I find, once again, very interesting. And I want to get into that a little bit in a second. Now, there is a story out there, though, that I happened to see this morning that kind of flies in the face of that study. There's been several stories to me that fly in the face of this study. One, just women in general, it's pretty obvious to me more and more women are buying guns. I have seen those stories that go back at least a couple years. Now, we know that a majority of women are Democrats. Democrats usually get the female vote, especially if the woman is single. Married women tend to be more conservative, more Republican. But more and more women, just no matter what their demographic is, there are more women buying guns. So it's hard to understand on one hand that Democrat gun ownership has gone down while female gun ownership has gone up. Those two things, I would think, would go in line with each other. If more women are owning guns, then Democrat gun ownership is going up. If Democrat ownership of guns is going down, that I would have to say women owning guns is going down as well. So I'm not sure what to make of that, but I will go even farther and get even more deeper into the demographics. Saw this article, more black women are owning guns. And I would have to say in the United, we already know that, 90% of blacks in the United States vote Democrat. And I'm going to say, given that women tend to be more liberal than men, that probably 97% of black women vote Democrat, and maybe 80-some percent of black men vote Democrat. I'm going to say even within their own demographic, the numbers are a little different. So when I start reading that black women, who are probably one of the most liberal demographics in the United States, even though I've known a couple black women in my life who were Republicans, I wouldn't say they're as conservative as I am, but they're certainly not Hillary Clinton fans or even Barack Obama fans. I've known some black women like that. It would seem to me if black women, more black women are owning guns, then Democrat ownership of guns should definitely be going up. And that's that black woman gun ownership article. Just saw that on Fox News this morning. On foxnews.com, you can find it. So what is going on here? It seems that this poll says one thing, study says one thing, and these other news articles say something else. And I think it comes down to this. I think more and more, not just when people are asked who they're going to vote for president, but if they own guns and somebody just calls them up on the phone, hey, do you own any guns? I think a person's natural inclination is probably going to be to say no. Unless they're really proud about it. Now, me, I don't answer the phone. I wouldn't take part in any study that asked me pretty much anything. I just don't take part. But I do know that if you are a liberal and you own a gun and you know that's not cool, but you do it anyway, because, yeah, you are, you know, you want to protect your property, you want to protect your family, but you know as a liberal that you're not supposed, you know, quote unquote, supposed to, then it wouldn't surprise me when they get polled on something like this, are you a gun owner? The person says no. That doesn't surprise me at all. And once again, getting back to the more black women owning firearms, do you think that those black women, if they were polled, do you own a gun, would they say yes? I doubt it. And if they want to lie, fine by me. What are you going to do? Because once again, the person who is liberal answering the phone doesn't know why they're being asked. Yeah, this person, you know, person on the other line, it says they're part of some study they're conducting. These people don't know. So many trolls out there all over the place. How does this liberal not know that he or she isn't going to be guilted? You answered yes, you're a liberal, you're not supposed to own a gun, and they just want to avoid all that. They don't even take the risk that something like that is going to happen. Likewise, to try to understand why it seems Republican gun ownership hasn't been up in the 40 years, I think it's kind of the same thing. That it's none of somebody else's business. We, as Republicans, I'm not a Republican anymore, but most of them being somewhat conservative, that their attitude is it's not anybody's business whether I own a gun or not. I don't have to tell people. I follow the law. I'm not a felon. I didn't lie to get this gun. It's not a stolen gun. I went to a gun store. I bought it new. I filled out all the paperwork. I had the waiting time. I went and got my concealed carry license by law. I do everything by the law. And if somebody's going to ask me if I own a gun or not, it's none of their dang business. Now, some gun owners are very proud. And so when you ask them, even if it's in some study, some anonymous person on the other side of the line, do you own a gun? They're more than happy to say, yes, I'm a gun owner in America because that's right. And they're right. They're exactly right. If they want to answer that way, fine by me. But I can also see the opposite side of this, that there are a lot of gun owners who believe in guns and who are vocal about it, maybe members of the NRA, maybe have contributed to some gun rights organization besides the NRA, maybe have gone to some gun shows. But when it comes to somebody asking them on the phone if they own a gun or not, and also who they voted for, the person's going to say, nah, I don't own a gun, even though they may own 10. But that's just one part. That's where we are in our culture right now with our gun culture in 2017. On one hand, and I guess the gun sales, I've read a couple stories, the gun sales actually overall are kind of down since Barack Obama left office. I don't know if that's true or not. But I read enough stories while he was president that gun sales records were, you know, breaking every record in the book seemingly every month. Then when you hear about all of this, then there has to be more gun owners in the United States. I know there's a lot of information. Well, a lot of these people who are buying these guns are already gun owners. There aren't a lot of new gun owners. I'm telling you, all of those numbers, all those guns that have been sold, there are a lot of new. I know. Hey, I'm one. I was one. I'm whatever statistic you see for January of 2016, I was one of those people, a new gun owner, who had never owned a gun before. So there are new people. There are people who have never owned guns who are buying for the first time. So I'm not convinced that it's just all people who have owned guns for 30, 40 years that are just hoarding guns. Although I completely understand it. If it's legal to own guns, then if you can afford it, go get some guns. I know if I had more money, I'd be going probably getting a couple more guns as well. But I was ecstatic. I have to tell you, when I started doing my reading for today's show, to see that more black women are owning firearms makes me the happiest guy in the world. It just does. For many, just women, you've heard me talk about this before regarding just women in general. I don't care what their race is or ethnicity is, that given the way of nature, with men being stronger than women, faster than women, and we as men committing a large majority of the violent crimes, not just in the United States, but in the world, women should be gun owners. And I've even said that I happen to know a woman who can't own a gun because she has a felony on her record. And that's wrong. It's just wrong. Women should not be penalized like men are when it comes to gun ownership, because it's much riskier for women to be out there unarmed than men. That's my opinion. I know more men are murdered and everything, but we cannot put, don't think that we should put females in our society in a place where they can't defend themselves against a guy who is coming after them. I think that's wrong. Now, I know women commit murders too, and they commit crimes and everything, and we just have to take a little deeper look at all of it. But I understand with men with felonies and they aren't allowed to own guns, with women, we might want to think about changing that idea. Simply because women just genetically and by nature are at a disadvantage. And we should not exacerbate that disadvantage by not allowing some women to own guns simply because they have a felony, you know, 10 years ago. Now, if they robbed a bank with a gun, that's different. But if it was some sort of check kiting or, you know, embezzlement or something, and they've done their time and it didn't have anything to do with violence, it was some sort of white collar crime, then I'm willing to take a look, you know, at each circumstance and determine it, instead of just saying all women with felonies can't own guns. I think that's wrong. I think we're setting these women up to be more likely to be raped, to be murdered. And just because you have a felony on your record doesn't mean you know that you deserve to be murdered or raped or anything like that. But I think that our laws are putting those women, unfortunately, in that position where it makes it more likely that those bad things are going to happen to them. And so when it comes to black women who, I'm going to guess, statistically live in some of the more dangerous places in the United States, that they're arming themselves, it's great. I could not be more ecstatic. And I don't even care how they vote. I don't care if they're Hillary Clinton lovers or Barack Obama lovers, however they voted. If they're going out there and they're protecting themselves, they're buying guns, they know that it's their responsibility, it's their constitutional right. However, whatever is going through their mind when they're doing it, I support it. I don't even care how they vote. Good for them. Good for them. Let's move on to something else. I mentioned, what was it, the day yesterday or the day before, about Rush Limbaugh talking about this conspiracy theory he had regarding the French election and how, you know, his belief was that Macron, the guy who ended up winning, might have leaked those emails on his own and tried to push it off on the Russians in an effort to scare the French people, because Marine Le Pen has so many close connections, and her family has so many connections to Russia, and specifically to Vladimir Putin. Well, there is an article at Reuters today that the FBI does believe that the Russians might have tried to do something regarding the French election, and that they might have hacked into Macron's emails. I wonder what Rush has to say about this today. Is he going to slough this off as just the liberal media talking and taking away from the news story to the real story that Macron did this on his own, his people put this all together, put this huge conspiracy scam together just to win an election? I wonder. You know, and I have to tell you something. You know, if this is the best that, you know, we're all worried about what the Russians did in our election. Well, I got to tell you, if the best that Russian hackers can do, if in fact they were doing this to try to help Marine Le Pen win the election, the Russians aren't very good at their job, because Marine Le Pen lost by 30 points. You'd think if they were hacking the election, maybe they might not be able to push her across the finish line first for her to win the election, but you'd think they'd be able to make it closer than 30 points, you know, if they're competent. And this is what I've always said about the November election. If Trump's people, Trump himself, got together with the hackers and said, you know what, I don't think I have a chance of winning this election, can you do something for me? Do you really think that Trump would go along with the idea that, okay, the Russians say, well, you're going to win the electoral vote, so you technically win, but you're going to lose the popular vote by 3 million. There's nothing we can do about that. Do you really think that Donald Trump would be happy with that? With his ego? Do you really think he'd make the deal with the Russians to say that, you know, he's going to lose to Hillary Clinton by 3 million votes? No, the way Donald Trump is he would want everything. He would want the Electoral College. He would want to win the popular vote by millions and millions and millions. In fact, I'm sure the way Donald Trump is, if he was going to make some deal with some hacker, he would want it that Donald Trump would win every state. For the first time in our country's history, a president win all 50 states and the District of Columbia. That's the way Donald Trump is. And here he couldn't even win the popular vote, and people still think that the Russians helped him win the election. I'm telling you, if he made a deal with the Russians to hack the election, then it would have been everything. Everything would have been on the table, including winning the popular vote and everything that Trump could win. Come on now, people. This is what makes that conspiracy so idiotic. Can you not look at Donald Trump and know that he would never make a bargain like that, the way the election came out? Now, for me, being that I think that I have less than an ego than Donald Trump, to me it's all about winning. I wouldn't even care what the popular vote is, as long as if I were to run for president and have hackers on my side, let's just say, that's quite a stretch for any of that. But me, all I think I would care about is winning. Is, hey, as long as I get 270 electoral votes, what do I care what the popular vote is? That's the way Ed Densel thinks about things. And if I could have somebody to make that happen, not that I'm a cheater, but in an alternate universe, that's what I would say. But Donald Trump isn't me. He'd have to win everything. You know, it's no different than me playing disc golf. You know, as long as I win by one stroke, that's all that matters. It's not about ego out there. It's about shooting the lowest score. And in the two tournaments that I won, going back to 2015, unfortunately, although I'm playing some nice disc golf this year, I won by two strokes over in Orlando, and I won by one stroke here in Largo in March of 2015. And you know what? Really didn't care. Just barely pulled either of them out. All that matters is you win. Donald Trump, if he's playing golf or any, I'm sure he wants to win by 100 strokes. Or it's not good enough. Difference between me and him. Probably the difference between a lot of people and Donald Trump. And this is why I continue to believe that although the Russians might have messed around here and there, they did not affect the election in any way. They did not help Donald Trump win, just like they couldn't help Marine Le Pen win in France. I mean, hey, we may find out that Marine Le Pen maybe didn't get 35% of the vote. Maybe she only got 25%. Maybe they helped her. They could push it up 10%. But if she loses by 50% or 30%, it's still a loss. This is what makes all this election hacking stuff so idiotic. So there's that story. Russians involved in the French election obviously could not do much. They did not discredit the guy who ended up winning it all. He's going to run France however he's going to run it. I don't think that Russia is going to play too much of a part in that country. The National Front Party, National Front, is going to change its name. Talked about that a couple days ago. Who knows what's going to happen to Marine Le Pen? Hey, I guess she has a lot to be... she did better, than her father when he ran against François Mitterrand? No, that wasn't it. Whoever it was back in the 1980s, she did better than he did. So it's a step in the right direction if you think that way in France. And if you're a big Le Pen fan, I'm not a fan of her or the guy that won. And I'm not a fan of France. So there's that. One more thing before I go. Barack Obama did an interview, and for once he said something that I agree with. And it is a doozy of a statement, given that he was just president of the United States for 8 years. And this statement sounds familiar, you're going to say, hey, Ed, haven't you said that before? He said in this interview, you get the politicians you deserve. That statement is true. That statement is true, whether we like it or not. And, of course, the reason he was saying this in the context of Donald Trump winning and him saying, well, you know, of course, he doesn't like Donald Trump. Well, they're going to get what they deserve. And I guess what he's also saying is that when he was elected in 2008, the American people were a lot better. And because they were a lot better, they got a good president like him. But somehow between then and now, things changed. Does Barack Obama not realize that some people who voted for him turned around and switched and voted for Donald Trump in 2016? Hey, Barack Obama is as responsible for Donald Trump rising and getting the presidency as much as anybody else in this country. Barack Obama has his own part in this as well. But the statement, you get the politician you deserve, is absolutely true. I gotta go. Find the show Monday through Friday, 2 a.m. Eastern in the United States. Podomatic and iTunes is where you can also find it. My other show, Unfound Missing Persons Program, comes out every Friday. You can find it on Podomatic and iTunes as well. That's about it. I gotta go. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.